Hi, Paul Sackett, Good News Planet, speaking to Diane Tai. Hi, Diane, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Okay, good. I'm very excited to speak with you. You're the project director of the Global Social Enterprise Initiative, and we read some articles about the organization. We're being introduced to it by Bill Novelli, and this is exciting. So tell us about the good things that you're doing, and I believe you're associated with Georgetown University.
That's correct. So my good news, well, after a three-part Aging Well series that GSEI, the Global Social Enterprise Initiative, did with Philips, the Dutch technology company, we did sort of a thought leadership series and around three different broad themes. The first one was around the barriers to technology adoption among older adults. The second was around infrastructure, and the third was on caregiving. I led the second and third one, so I can talk more about that. But basically what I'm working on now is kind of a culmination of these three different expert roundtables that resulted in white papers. And, you know, we kept telling ourselves, we're not just another think tank, we're a do tank. And so from that, we put together a proposal for really creating, for lack of a better word, a living lab, how to really test the kinds of technologies that are available to older adults and connecting into communities, all with an eye toward how do we support folks, whatever age, how do we support them to, you know, age in community. And there's those, the term aging in place that I think is often used. We're really trying to change that language. It's about growing in place or growing in community. And what I'm excited to talk about is we have a project that we're doing with a housing developer in Lake Zurich, a suburb of Chicago, and we're putting together a lot of really smart minds around creating a sort of aging well showcase, a model of a home and how it connects into the community using technology, and is a way for people to start to envision what it might be like in terms of a new housing model to age well and to age in their community. We're also working with another developer in Rockville, Maryland, who is also looking at a new model for housing. He's part of our team. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh. So is that the main thrust of the organization? I see you have partnerships and a whole bunch of good things going on.
You mean in terms of the Global Social Enterprise? No, we're much broader. We handle a range of issues from, you know, aging to, we've done things with tobacco control, we've done things with rural entrepreneurship, energy investments. So my role within GSEI, we're sort of like an internal consulting group, and we have a client, in this case, Philips. All working in the aging wealth space, so I've been managing that relationship and trying to bring to fruition kind of a two-plus year partnership to actually do something in the marketplace. So we recruited as a result of an announcement that we jointly made with MIT Age Lab, Georgetown, Philips. Through the White House Conference on Aging, we were able to assemble a number of collaborators to join our Aging Well Hub. And join us in really looking at lots of different ways and strategies for, you know, a cross-section of industry experts to really work together on this very tough issue.
Great. Really, really wonderful. So, you know, we just were coming back from the CES event here
in
Las Vegas. And actually, we did a whole show with Philips. About the products that help us age well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, very interesting. We have it on there, probably almost a 25-minute show as we
went
around their booth and, you know, product by product, you know, from in the house to, you know, to in the sort of medicine cabinet to, you know, really all the positive, let's call them inventions. I always feel that, you know, someone actually conceived of a better way to live. So will you be in this mindset and this, you know, that project, say, outside of Chicago, will you be incorporating those kinds of things? And are you actually going to physically make a make a home or make a community?
We're looking at floor plans for home. It's a beautiful home on a piece of, it's actually going to be, I believe, a 16 single-family home development. And this in particular home we're building as a showcase for Aging Well. The plan is to incorporate not only Philips products, whether it's lighting or in the health tech area, but also other products, you know, from small entrepreneurial ventures. I was talking to a guy from Ireland yesterday who's interested in getting in on the ground floor with us, all the way to incorporating the Nest thermostat from Google. That's now owned by Google. We want, at the CAES, I was reading about a really cool smart refrigerator manufactured by Samsung, and we're, you know, we're trying to figure out how do we get them to want to incorporate or place that in this home, which we think will be really exciting. So a range, we're really looking for a range of manufacturers and partners who want to incorporate what they're working on, products and services, into this home.
Well, there's so many companies that are doing, you know, products for in-home to make in-home a more comfortable, convenient, wise place for, let's say, digestion, for actually even eating, as well as, you know, storing food and lights and watching your grandma. And, I mean, it's really great. How many products?
It is. It's explosive, actually.
Explosive.
But I think the challenge is adoption, technology adoption. You know,
right.
one of the roundtables that we did was called "Family Matters in Caregiving and Technology Adoption." And you know, one of the things as we started looking at just the incredible innovation that's going on with products and technology products and services to be used to help with the caregiving relationship, or you know, just overall, you know, medical connection, all of that. A lot of challenges in terms of adoption, as I said, and we were trying to get what's behind that. And I have a marketing background, and so it always goes back to, well, who is your consumer here? And I think there's a lot of complexity. I think it, obviously in the caregiving case, I think a lot of cases it's the adult age child, as well as who we call the care recipient. Who are you marketing to? Who are you selling to? And if you're successful with, say, getting the adult age child wanting to get that product into the home of their parent or loved one, will the parent actually then use it? There's some resistance there. And so we did a really interesting study behind that. We actually, I think it was the first of its kind, where we did paired interviews, in-depth interviews, with care recipients and caregivers from the same family. And boy, did we learn some interesting things.
Well, we originally saw an article from your organization that was extremely, Mark, do you remember the name of that article from the organization? That's how we initially found what you guys are doing. And we sent it around because we were so involved with, our audience knows SeniorNet and the 30th anniversary. And so we're very, you know, cognizant and looking every day of who's doing what, and you're a leader. And so I think this was, I don't know what this was called, but this is where we did learn about your involvement.
Great.
There was two articles that really are in depth, and you know, really are very focused on global send and let's see, the three-part aging study today. Final wave of the three-part aging study. So you guys are really cutting edge. You know why this is all happening? I just want you to know why. Because it's because of an article today in the newspaper, in the New York Times newspaper. This is why this Centurions proliferate and live longer.
Yeah. Yes, that's absolutely true. Well, I also think, too, a big reason there's so much focus on, you know, aging well or growing well, growing in community is, you know, boomers are going to go kicking and screaming. And we've always looked at, you know, we've always been, you know, kind of wanting to redefine. And, you know, what I'm fascinated by is what boomers want is very similar to what millennials want. You know, walkability, convenience, efficient space. They don't want to be in a car driving and all. And if you think about our suburbs, they're all designed not with a whole lot of thinking around. We're so car dependent, not a whole lot of thinking around, you know, access to services, you know. So one of the roundtables we did, we really assembled a very interesting group. We observed that there's a lot of innovation going on, you know, in terms of the home. And there's also innovation in the community, you know, Uber and grocery delivery and, you know, all these social services that are available. But nobody was really looking holistically at the ecosystem of how home and community actually connect to one another. So that's a big focus of this project that we're doing in Lake Zurich, Illinois, is, yes, we can build this model home. There have been others built, but we're really doing it with a very deliberate eye towards how is this home going to connect into the community? You know, there's a high school nearby. What can we do to connect older adults to those high school students? Lots of great things can happen, I think, when generations connect with one another. So,
well, you know, I will have to, you know, say, because once again, our audience almost, we're doing tons of stories for our SeniorNet 30th anniversary, of which I've been on the board for 15 years. You know, that was all volunteer community centers in communities that would teach the latest technologies and how to use computers. Basically, the old words, I don't even know if they're around anymore, digital divide, you know,
right.
Was to eliminate that reality. You know, so a grandparent could send a T-shirt to their grandchild.
I love it.
The full circle.
Yeah, that's so great. I also think we've all seen, you know, kind of our parents go through illness. And unfortunately, my father died of Alzheimer's. And it has to be better. There has to be a better way, you know. And so I think that's why I'm so passionate about this work that we're doing at GSEI. And other projects, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you so much. It's really, you know, I've always sort of said, I've definitely said, you know, there's two areas that I don't think there's no school classes. I don't recollect in any college or anything, high school, ever being taught how to raise a child.
Right.
and how to deal with a dying parent.
Right, exactly.
And these are, you know, they're both almost the same, right? When you get old, you're almost like a baby again. And and everybody's in it, you know, and everybody has to deal with it almost, you know, if God has graced them with parents. And, you know, what do we do?
What do we do? What is the roadmap?
Right.
You know, and I personally, when I went through my own journey with my father, I was working at AARP with Bill Novelli at the time and Lyndon Mantegi, who's the executive director of GSEI, and I had all the information at my fingertips. And even then, I felt, oh, my gosh, I'm lucky. And even then, it was a journey of one, and it was a very difficult one. So for the millions out there, how do we make it better? And we all know, too, that over 90, consistently, every survey that I've seen, over 90% of older adults say they want to age where they, you know, in community. They want to age at home. Nobody wants to be in a nursing home, and yet that's the reality for just way too many people. So I'm excited about how we think about technology usage, and you don't want to think of technology and a person just in their home by themselves connecting in. There has to be a social aspect to that as well. How do we create the social interaction so that the isolation, which is a huge predictor for early death and decline and depression, you know, how do we make the social connection work as well? That's so critical.
Yeah, well, you are working on critical work, and important work, and you all are doing a great job. As I say, we are passing along your research findings, and we've invited your organization to be part of the SeniorNet. I'm very honored to have our time together right now and broadcast this as well. And we're here to support whatever you're doing, and however we can promote your efforts, you can count
Perfect.
On our broadcast.
Thank
Let me
you
ask
you
so
two much.
This.
That's great.
We could talk for a long time. I know that. And part one or part many, if that's okay. I want to ask you two last questions, okay, as I ask everybody these. And the one is, and there's no right or wrong. It's just whatever you feel, if you care to share. It's what is good news for you?
Personally?
Yeah, personally, in your job, whatever you'd like.
Oh, okay. Just for me, it's just I'm excited that, 2.5 years of work and, writing white papers, which often just don't get used, is actually being viewed, and that we're actually turning it into something that's real. I actually, I'm just excited that we're going to make some changes in the marketplace that I think are going to be, very much in the thought leadership area, and that more people will benefit and have a better way to age well.
Age well, there it is. And the last question, because we're very also involved with the International Day of Peace, World Peace. And peace comes in many ways, right, in many aspects. What you guys are doing, you're doing peace work, making lives more peaceful for potentially for many, many, many. So I've asked thousands of people, what does peace mean to them? So, Diane, what does peace mean to you?
What does peace mean to me?
Yes.
Just... When there's just kindness rules in everyone's heart. If we start from that, the world would just be a better place, and we'd have peace.
I love that. I thank you so much, very much. I appreciate your sharing with us, and as I say, I look forward to speaking with you again, and we move forward.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Okay.
All right.